When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Kennedy Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Allison, and today I'm joined by everyone's favorite in all the land, Ryan Pryor. Ryan, thank you for joining me today.
What's up?
I'm so glad you're here. I'm so
that
glad.
That was my early 2000s commercial impersonation.
I loved it. That's one of my favorite early 2000s commercials,
too. That was a good one, wasn't it? What's up?
It was very good. Yes.
Sorry, everyone. I'm not under the weather. It's just I got a lot of allergies right now. And so, like, my head's all full of fog. It's like there's a thunderstorm in my brain. Mm. And yeah. So
that's called Tennessee.
Yeah. So, like, for the next couple of days, I'm just going to be, feeling like crap. So,
you know, there is medicine for this. You know that, right?
I've taken two pills today. I've taken two whole pills.
What did you take?
Zyrtec.
What kind of Zyrtec?
I don't know. The tiny pill. The 24
hours. We live in Tennessee. It's not going to cut it. You got to take something a little extra.
Some kind of Advil.
That's just a pain reliever. That's going to do nothing for
your allergies. Advil congestion.
Yeah, that's for like a cold. That's not for like, you know, allergy symptoms.
Well, I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to say, Allison asked me to, my friend Allison, they're going to say, who's that? Asked me to come get some better medicine. And the woman at the CVS is going to look real, real weird at the whole thing. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But you'll be fine.
I'll be fine. Okay.
So we are revisiting something that we put on hold a long time ago at this point. But I was actually watching the Post last night and did not remember how much it was focused on this topic. I don't know how, but it was
Did you watch the Post in preparation? Is that why you watched the Post?
Like, I watched the Post. It's been a long time. And then when I turned it, I was like, oh, I remembered the plot line, but I forgot it too. It just kind of was serendipitous. So Ryan, tell them what we're going to be talking about.
We're going to be talking about the Pentagon Papers today, which has a lot to do with Robert McNamara, who we talked about in a past episode, in a past life. We talked about Robert McNamara. And it's a pretty cool thing to discuss. It is very important, historically speaking, and has to do with four different presidents, not just the one we all know and love, John Kennedy.
That's right. And we're going to get to that. But first, I've got segments prepared here. Well, I say me. Anya, my amazing head of research, prepared these. She's wonderful. So for our inspiring clip of the week this week.
One of the inspiring notes.
President John F. Kennedy's remarks on the 20th anniversary of the Voice of America, and this happened on February 26, 1962.
In 1946, the United Nations General Assembly passed a resolution reading in part, "Freedom of information is a fundamental human right and the touchstone of all the freedoms to which the United Nations is consecrated. This is our touchstone as well. This is the code of the Voice of America. We welcome the view of others. We seek a free flow of information across national boundaries and oceans, across iron curtains and stone walls. We are not afraid to entrust the American people with unpleasant facts, foreign ideas, alien philosophies, and competitive values. For a nation that is afraid to let its people judge the truth and falsehood in an open market is a nation that is afraid of its people."
Now for our recommendation segment.
Of course, then we would recommend it.
I'm going to go ahead and recommend The Post because I just talked about it and it makes sense. It works with this. Great film. I had to finish it tonight. We fell asleep, but still great film. It's not because of the film. And also, she put on here, and I highly recommend as well, The Fog of War, which is a Robert McNamara documentary. So that's what I got. What do you think, Ryan?
I love it.
All right. We ready to get to it?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Teach me all
the things. So the report of the Office of the Secretary of Defense to the Vietnam Task Force, otherwise known as the Pentagon Papers, was a special report commissioned by Robert McNamara, whom we have talked about before, who was the Secretary of Defense under both Kennedy and Lyndon Baines Johnson. The bane of Allison's existence, but...
The joy of your life.
The buoy of mine. That was a weird way to say that.
I'm going
to
put it on a t-shirt.
So McNamara was, of course, inspired to do this during a visit to the Kennedy Institute of Politics in November of 1966. Basically, it was suggested to him that he should look at how and why the U.S. had gotten into or become involved in Vietnam, which had what had been achieved and what were the mistakes. You see, by 1966, the Americans had been involved in Vietnam basically since the 1950s under Dwight Eisenhower. I think we've talked about Vietnam a little bit over several podcasts over the last 117 podcasts. But yeah, basically he wanted to commission this. And McNamara was a big supporter of the Vietnam War. He, you know, we've talked about domino theory in the past. Remember we talked about domino theory on one of the podcasts?
I do.
And we talked about how the Cold War really impacted the way that Kennedy came about his presidency. But McNamara took it to a whole nother level. He really believed that the United States had an obligation to keep communism in check, to keep places from falling to the communist threat. Because again, it was an ideological war as much as it was a war of bombs and bullets. Also, by the way, some would say that Vietnam was known as McNamara's war. I'm not sure how you feel about that, given that it was instigated by Eisenhower, progressed by Kennedy, kept going by Johnson, and then finished by Nixon. What would you say? Would you agree with that statement that it was McNamara's war?
Not necessarily. Also, I think in the movie last night, if I'm not mistaken, didn't it say it started, the idea started with Truman or something? He was somehow involved?
Yeah, oh yeah, all the way back, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's what
course,
I thought.
Of course, remember, before Eisenhower, though, I mean, it was Truman, and Vietnam wasn't Vietnam. It was right. French Indochina.
It was a long process.
Yeah, long process.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, McNamara claimed that the study was authorized to preserve materials which documented decisions made during the war because he believed that they would be lost or destroyed. It was also believed, interestingly enough, and this doesn't have to do with John F. Kennedy, but it has to do with another Kennedy, Bobby. It was believed by some, also promulgated by President Johnson himself, that Bobby Kennedy, who was friends with McNamara, and also who was for ending the Vietnam War, was actually the one who convinced him to commission it. There was never any proof of this, and McNamara actually later said in his own words that was not true in a book called In Retrospect in 1996. But I don't know, you know, that's up to you. That's a much less interesting rumor than perhaps some of the other ones are, but you know, it could be that Bobby Kennedy was actually the guy behind the Pentagon Papers altogether. And have you ever heard about that? You never heard anything about that? That's okay. I you know, that's a different one.
I mean, I've heard about that before, but I mean, it's all speculation and
who knows, right? So 36 officials from the Pentagon, the State Department, and the military, and various other think tanks and universities worked on this report, but McNamara did not have any actual. He didn't have any actual, like, he didn't do anything with it. And I think the more interesting thing was, this was, by the way, started on June 17th, 1967, was when they started this, about a year after he came up with the idea. And then McNamara leaves the Defense Department in February of 1968. And I think that's fascinating, right? You commission this thing that I think at the time didn't seem it was going to be such a big deal. But then, like, you leave and you're like, all right, cool. Like, and he probably forgot about it. He probably commissioned this report, and then a year, like less than a year later, he's like, all right, I'm leaving. And this report, and by the way, the machine, the cog's already moving, meaning there are people whose daily lives are built around working on this every single day after he leaves. Isn't that fascinating? It was finished on January 15th, 1969, 5 days before Richard Nixon's inauguration, and sent a copy, and it was sent to the RAND Corporation. It was composed of 47 volumes, all classified as top secret or sensitive. That's kind of how all this thing got started. We're going to talk about later what happened in The Post, right, which is a movie about how the Pentagon Papers were leaked. But right now, we're just going to talk about those, and we might even save that revelation part for another time because it's such an interesting situation about how it came out. But the Pentagon Papers were published, never shown to the public by the government. Right, it would take another few years and the workings of several reporters of the New York Times to get it published. But here's what the Pentagon Papers discovered. After 2 years of writing and McNamara commissioned it and McNamara leaves, okay, here's what it basically found. First, it found that the major issue in the Vietnam War was not, as President Johnson and President Kennedy and President Eisenhower said, to prevent independent Vietnam, okay, and to secure an independent South Vietnam that actually wasn't under communist rule, but rather to help contain China. That was the big revelation there. That in fact, the war was not done to save South Vietnam. In fact, there is some speculation that without the war in Vietnam, South Vietnam would not have existed to begin with. South Vietnam would have been, was sort of a country in and of itself created by the United States and supplied and put up by the United States. But rather that, and the decision to bomb and attack and escalate the war was less about Vietnam itself because they didn't view Vietnam as a particularly valuable target in the first place. But what they didn't want was China's influence spreading south into the subcontinent, which I think is interesting because this is sort of the time when Americans start to feel very distrustful of their government. We talk mm-hmm. about the 1960s, the late 1960s is a time where America starts becoming very distrustful of their government. And specifically Nixon and Johnson are the ones who sort of the two presidents that push this feeling forward. But this is sort of like, again, a big example, and the government had done this before, of the government lying to the people, pushing forth a narrative that furthered their own goals without being honest. There's the first one. It also found that under five different presidents, not only had five different presidents lied about what they were doing in Vietnam, but they had also purposefully done things, committed like actions in American lives, money, whatever have you, to like directly enhancing or enlarging the war that war effort there. Harry Truman had aided France with military aid during the French Indochina War. Dwight Eisenhower basically was a big in the supporting of the South Vietnamese cause, and also may have unwittingly or wittingly broken the Geneva Convention, which is pretty interesting, right? The Geneva mm-hmm. Conventioners are like sort of rules of war. And then Kennedy, basically, Kennedy was blamed by the Pentagon Papers as basically escalating the war in terms into something larger than what it was. So John F. Kennedy was sort of blamed, not blamed, but sort of the issue that the Pentagon Papers made with Kennedy was that he had taken the war from a relatively small incident of global affairs to something of much greater caliber, something that Johnson couldn't ignore afterwards or Nixon themselves. And basically had said that instead of creating what was called the quote-unquote a limited gamble, he had turned it into a major commitment of American armed forces, men, and materiel. And then under Johnson, basically we began waging a covert war with spies and espionage so that by the time Nixon becomes president, the war is something so much bigger, and Nixon refuses to be the first American president to lose a war. You see, that was the kind of thing you don't really understand about Vietnam War, why people don't get why they didn't just end it. Why Nixon, who campaigned, by the way, on getting us out of Vietnam, who's saying, I will end the Vietnam War, why didn't he just end the war? And the big reason is Nixon was so proud that he did not want to be the first American president to lose a war. There is a great book called One Man Against the World, The Tragic Tale of Richard Nixon, that goes into great detail about this sort of back and forth that he had with the idea that he could at any time end the war if he wanted to, but he could not bear the idea of being the first
mm-hmm.
to lose.
Sounds like Nixon.
Yeah, it does sound like Nixon, doesn't it? Well, basically, it also found out that without the support of the United States, there would have been no South Vietnam, specifically, which was created between 1955 and 1956, that without the threat of U.S. intervention, South Vietnam would not have been able to would have had to have given in, and would have basically had to have been overrun by Viet Minh armies, and that without the United States, the Diem regime certainly, which was again a military dictatorship, would have not survived. So again, you've got the Pentagon Papers basically saying that the United States basically created the country of South Vietnam, that the Vietnam War was basically just a passion project for five U.S. presidents, and that every president since Truman had a role. And again, by 1969, tens of thousands of Americans have died in Vietnam. Countless millions of dollars have been spent on this, and protests across the country are erupting constantly to end this war. And the Pentagon Papers basically expose all of that. It also, again, one of the things it said, and one of the key facts was that the United States government had consistently and over time neglected to fully inform the United States populace and Congress of various like matters, that they had lied in any number of circumstances to achieve strategic goals, and that by the time the Pentagon Papers were released, the legal and moral justifications for U.S. involvement in Vietnam had pretty much gone away. By 1969, there was no reason why the United States should have been involved in Vietnam anymore. The original ideology was no longer there. The government wasn't sustainable without American intervention. And again, even without the Pentagon Papers, there were thousands of demonstrations and protests across the country happening every single year. And it wasn't revealed until the Watergate scandal, which of course you know took down President Nixon, that Nixon himself had unlawfully authorized attempts to discredit not only the Pentagon Papers, but eventually the writers for the New York Times who helped expose them. But I just think it's fascinating. Can you, I mean, just thinking through a thought experiment of having McNamara create this thing that would eventually come out later, after years after he had commissioned it and years after he had left the Pentagon, that would basically help upend a president. Like, the Pentagon yeah. Papers were a big reason why, like, Nixon's Watergate scandal was, like, was amplified. It tarnished the image of Lyndon B. Johnson and Dwight Eisenhower.
And of McNamara.
Yeah, and of McNamara himself, who basically regretted... Yeah. Who later said that I think that he regretted that he even commissioned the report in the first place, because, you know, what difference could have it made? And that's basically an overview of what the Pentagon Papers were. So again, our connections here to Kennedy are, one, that McNamara may have created it in response to Bobby Kennedy's urgings, and that McNamara was, of course, the Secretary of Defense under both Kennedy and Johnson, who were, again, central to that Camelot that we talk about all the time on this podcast, and that the Pentagon Papers were this secretive document series that had become bigger than what I think McNamara originally intended. It was not intended to be this major thing when he made it. It was intended to be something that shed light on the largest geopolitical issue of the day, and instead it created a political firestorm by 1971 when it began to be released in this very interesting story that's displayed, of course, in The Post, the movie The Post, and is actually quite fascinating, in my opinion. So one of the things I want to say also is that this is also significant because the Pentagon Papers came out to the public in 1971. The war would not officially end until 1975. Okay, we had begun a process of what's called Vietnamization, which was Nixon's idea of basically slowly shifting the war from our troops down to the, like, into the hands of South Vietnamese troops. But what do we know now about South Vietnam? Basically, without us, without our support, they would have, it's basically like Afghanistan, right? Afghanistan is our modern Vietnam. We did Vietnam again. It's crazy. We lost less soldiers, but we just did Vietnam again. So you got the situation where you hand over to the authorities. What happens? They can't do it without us, right? They don't have that capability. They didn't have the money. They didn't have the training. And they didn't have the political will either. The second thing I want to note here is that there is zero, like, there's no speculation about the legitimacy of the Pentagon Papers. The source material they used was government documents from over 15 years of interaction surrounding Vietnam. So there's no conspiracy theory surrounding the Pentagon Papers. Like, they were created. It was literally a regular old government report that McNamara just like was like, yeah, this will be good. You know, we should do this. That turned into one of the biggest like political scandals of the 21st century.
It's huge, like expose.
And imagine if you will. Now here's where the conspiracy theory in me comes around. Ready? Just a little bit.
Here he is.
I know you like it, and I know. You know, some of your fans like to get into the conspiracy theories a little bit.
Let's. Everybody does. That is my opinion.
Hey, that is my opinion. That is my opinion. This is my opinion. What other seemingly innocuous reports are sitting in safes, in think tanks, and in the Pentagon's old dusty file cabinets from like way back in the day, just waiting to be revealed, you know?
What is in the president's Book of Secrets?
All right.
From National Treasure.
This is not National Treasure 2, Book of Secrets.
Such a good movie. Underrated.
Oh my God! You know what? My students don't know about it, about National Treasure. I made a joke the other day
in class.
We were reading the Declaration of Independence in class, and welcome to my class. And I was like, I gave them copies of it, and I was like, just so you guys are aware, there's no secret map on the back of these. And they were all like, what?
No.
And I was like, how have you not seen National Treasure
at
all?
Fun fact, my first boyfriend when I was 12, shout out if you're listening, but he asked me on a date.
What's up, bro?
Yeah, he asked me on a date to go see the first National Treasure together. I was not allowed because I was 12 and my parents said no. But he then proceeded to, after seeing the film, you know how he tries to like light a match and use a lemon wedge or whatever and like whatever, I can't remember. But he did that and started a fire in his room.
So, oh, I love that.
Yeah, that's my National Treasure story.
I love that.
We worked out. We're happily married. Just kidding, not him.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. That's funny. Okay. Well, and so just as a sort of finality here, just as a sort of a recap, and I'm going to skip over talking about the events of the Post. You can watch the movie, and maybe we might want to do an episode on that. You know, a short episode on that later. I think that would probably be good.
Ben Bradley too.
It really does.
Major Kennedy.
I have info here, but I think it's probably worth its own episode. If I had
maybe
to guess,
maybe we do a Ben Bradley episode because he's really interesting. Yeah.
I would love that. So just to talk about the most damaging revelations of the Pentagon Papers, basically revealed huge mishandlings of public information and also massive secret keeping to basically prop up a war that was at that point being fought only to preserve people's egos. I think that's really important to note here, that this war was basically being fought to preserve the egos of members of Congress, of generals, and of presidents by this point. And the report, which again basically came out, you know, in the towards the end of the war, but not at the end of the war, basically associated these percentages to why we were fighting Vietnam. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First, the majority of the reason we were fighting Vietnam was to avoid humiliation. That's it. Full stop. The report says we were looking to avoid humiliation. Can you believe that?
That's a big yikes.
50,000 men dead,
yeah,
and countless other hundreds of thousands wounded. PTSD for the next 50 years, destruction of a country, the largest bombing campaign in world history in Cambodia. They're still finding bombs constantly in Cambodia to help avoid a humiliating defeat for the United States.
It's very
what a
tragic.
Ridiculous concept.
Yeah.
Very tragic. The next reason was to keep South Vietnam away from China. Okay, that was the other one, right? The big reason was to keep China out of Vietnam. And then finally, very small, but was to permit the people of South Vietnam to enjoy a better way of life. So the very least concern we had, it was a concern, but was to help them avoid the way of life. Also, to try to get out of it without too much embarrassment. So by the end, they were trying to end it, not like humiliation, like to accept defeat would have been humiliating, but they wanted to get out without too much embarrassment. So they kept trying things to try to get North Vietnam to come to the table, which by trying things, massive bombing campaigns and things like that. What it was not, and what Vietnam was never intended to do, according to the Pentagon Papers, was to help anybody. It wasn't necessarily, like, we said prevent the spread of communism, but it was really more to prevent the spread of China. We weren't there to help.
That's the domino theory that we've talked
about. Right.
Yeah.
We weren't there to help the people of South Vietnam. We certainly weren't there to help Americans. And again, I think this is really the Pentagon Papers also really hastens this real giant distrust that existed amongst the government that really didn't go away until Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
Like the 1970s is just an example of it's just constantly thing after thing, America not trusting their own government for good reason. And I think we're back there a little bit. You know, history doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme.
Can I put that on a shirt?
Well, it's already a big phrase. You wouldn't be unique there. Although I'm sure I don't think it's copyrighted. History does not repeat itself, but it does rhyme. And what we're seeing today, I think, is one of the big distrust in government has a lot to do with the Iraq and the war in Afghanistan. I think those two wars really shook our foundations. I think we knew by 2008 that the wars were being fought for no good reason. That we had been lied to. If you guys haven't listened to the last year's Slow Burn, if you guys don't listen to Slow Burn, one of the best podcasts out there.
I've been told that is very good. I need
to listen. All of the Slow Burns okay. are good. The first three are about that. Nixon, Clinton, the Nixon Watergate scandal, the Clinton scandal, and Biggie and Tupac.
Ooh.
Fascinating. Oh, so good. And they did the one about David Duke a few years ago.
Yeah.
And then last year they did one on the invasion of Iraq. And
interesting.
It's amazing how much we just made up to justify going and invading Iraq. So you take Iraq and Afghanistan, you watch the last scenes out of Kabul. in 2021, if you recall, in August of 2021, were just devastating, right? We were devastated by what happened because it was just a terrible end to what was otherwise a wasteful war. And I think we've been in a sort of similar position the last 5 or 6 years where Americans have just been distrustful of their government for a lot of reasons, not just the ones that perhaps political pundits would like you to just sort of pick out. So yeah, that's the Pentagon Papers in our little 30-minute format, right? We could obviously, I'm sure you could do 10 or 15 podcasts on this, but you know, I think we've connected it to the Kennedys. We've talked about it a lot. We've already talked about, if you want to go back and listen to our two-part series on Kennedy and the Vietnam War, there's some context that can be added to this, and I think it would be very interesting to go back and listen to those.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pryor. And thank you for pushing through with what I know.
Yeah, I do apologize. I think I probably...
Seasonal.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's awful.
You actually
hate
sound
it.
Pretty good.
I appreciate that.
You sound
that.
Way better than I do when I have allergies. So you're doing very well.
Well, I try my best.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Pryor. And we will have you back on soon, of course. You're everybody's
favorite. Well, all you out there in Radioland, enjoy your week. And hopefully...
I will say, I feel like we cut back on banter this time, probably because you don't feel so well. But our reviewers will be so happy.
I know. You're going to have like 30 minutes, 35 minutes of like just talking about history. And no banter.
I shared one ex-boyfriend story. One. That's it.
Hold on. Here's some banter. How has the Whopper Whopper Double Whopper jingle gotten out unstuck from your head recently, or you finally gotten rid of that?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
After every commercial from the Super Bowl and from like college football, it's like
sing
Whopper
it.
Whopper Double Whopper Junior Bacon Triple, you know?
Whopper 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 Junior Double Triple Whopper.
It didn't stick for me. It didn't stick.
It didn't stick.
So, yeah, I'm doing good. No,
I was singing that for months.
I have a few things that stick in my head all the time. You know the intro to Devil Wears Prada where their feet hit the floor and they're like,
never
your
seen
face
it.
Is a map. What?
Never seen the Devil Wears Prada.
What?
Love everybody in that movie.
Okay.
Never seen it.
So you need to go watch that ASAP. I can watch it.
Caroline, we're watching
times.
The Devil
it's
Wears
so
Prada.
Good. I'm sure she's seen it.
She says it's just okay.
Oh, God, that breaks my heart. It's okay. I will love her through it. You need to go watch it. I'm telling you. But anyway, there's an intro song. And they're like, your face is a map of the world. It's a map of the world. And sometimes when I get up, I like hear that in my head.
Her face is a map of the world. It's a map of the world. You can see she's a beautiful girl. She's a beautiful girl.
That is stuck on repeat all the time. And then another thing that lives rent-free in my head is No Air by Jordan Sparks and Chris Brown.
Tell me how I'm supposed to breathe with no air.
It just pops up all the time. So those are my two things.
I love
things.
It. All right, yeah. I'll go listen. I promise I'll go listen to that.
You've never heard No Air by Jordan Sparks?
Is it How to Live with No
Air?
That one does. Okay, never mind. I will go watch The Devil Wears Prada. I won't.
Okay,
I won't have
to go
listen
it.
To
maybe,
that song.
Maybe Caroline just needs to see it with fresh eyes. Maybe
got
she
it.
Needs
I got,
like that.
I get it.
Okay,
I like
well,
it.
Go do that. Go do that.
Okay, we will. So there's some banter for you. The people who love the banner was here. Here was the banner.
I'm going to go finish the post. And I'm going to watch Fog of War. That's it. Thanks, Pryor. And I will talk to you guys next week.
Come on and vote for Kennedy. Vote for Kennedy. Keep America strong. Kennedy, he just keeps rolling up. Kennedy, he just keeps rolling up. Kennedy, he just keeps rolling along. Vote for Kennedy.
A news story gets shared by a friend on social media, or you catch a tweet that really makes your blood boil. But how do you separate fact from fiction? That's the premise behind Disinformation, a 10-part series from Evergreen Podcasts and Emergent Risk International coming this fall. Tune in to Disinformation wherever you get your podcasts, and remember, don't believe everything you read.